Hello everybody, this is Julius Covington, and welcome to Chats with Julius. All right. Hello everybody, and welcome back to another episode with Chats with Julius. I am your host of this evening, or whatever time zone you guys are in. I'm Julius Covington, and this is another episode of Chats with Julius. Welcome back, guys. Now, today, guys, I have a special guest for you guys, and she's basically my girlfriend, and we've been dating for about a year now. And I'm excited for her to be on the show, and her name is Rachel Daly. Say hello to everybody, Rachel.
Hello, everyone.
And today, guys, we're going to be talking about a specific topic, and it's called Asperger's syndrome. Before we get started, Rachel, how are you feeling?
I'm a little nervous, but excited.
Excited. Hey, it's okay. It's for first timers doing on a podcast. You know, they can be nervous, but also excited at the same time. But it's normal. It happens. So, But we're happy. But I'm happy for you to be on the show. So welcome.
Thank you.
No problem. And so basically, with this Asperger's syndrome, we're gonna be talking about it. We're going to be talking about, you know, how, you know, what the definition is, and we're going to be talking about the treatments and stuff like that. And basically, I'm just going to be asking Rachel, like, a few questions throughout the whole show about how, you know, how she was coping with it, and how her life was been, and how she managed to get through it, if that makes sense. So, what the definition of Asperger's syndrome is, you know, pretty much a developmental disorder affecting ability to effectively socialize and communicate. Asperger's syndrome is a condition on the autism spectrum with generally higher functioning. So basically what that means is Asperger's syndrome means that people can socialize, you know, they can socialize, like, you know, awkwardly, you know, and people can be, like, sarcastic and be goofy 24/7, which isn't the wrong with being goofy or anything like that. It happens and stuff like that. So, Rachel, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, it is very complicated to have this, because you don't know when to not be goofy sometimes, or you don't know how to act serious in serious situations. And especially if you're around a lot of people, it can be very complicated. Like, I don't like crowds or anything. Like, if I see a bunch of people, I try to get out because it scares me. And it's because I'm just socially awkward, and it's just kind of, it's difficult.
Right. So, is there a problem? So, before we continue, is there a situation where you feel like you can't be serious sometimes, or what?
Yeah, especially if it comes to, like, a teacher or, like, an adult talking to me sometimes. Like, if they were to say a word weirdly by accident, or especially if I'm getting, like, disciplined, sometimes I would, like, kind of laugh, thinking it's funny when it's not. Like, especially if I did something really bad in school or at home. Like, if dad or mom or a teacher were to lecture me, and if they were to act, like, funny or something like that, or say something funny, or make, like, or me thinking it's funny in the situation, I have a hard time being serious. And then that's what gets me in more trouble. So,
and is there a time where you've been, like, actually, Is there a time where you've been like actually like being sarcastic since? Because since I brought that up of being sarcastic, like there has been times where you have been sarcastic. I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
So does it like run? So it doesn't really just run by you, but it just like runs like in the family pretty much. And that happens all the time, right? Or
what? Yeah, it's usually dad doing it or mom or just any family member that does it. And there are times where I am sarcastic, especially on my friends. Not very much with strangers or people I don't really know or like children, because children, they don't understand it. Obviously, they're not going to. I mean, some of them might, but some of them might not. And it's just, like, with me, I am a very sarcastic person sometimes. And sometimes that's just how I cope with my, if I'm upset about something, I just do that. I don't know. That's just me. But, yeah.
Right. So, basically, I read an analysis on this. And it's a rare condition that there are fewer than 200,000 people that have it. It's a United States cases, and it happens per year. It's a chronic that it can last for years or it can be lifelong, and it's also a required medical diagnosis. And it's a lab test or imaging rarely required. The medical diagnosis is people socially awkward, which what we talked about in the beginning, it means having an awe-absorbing I can't even say that word. People, I can't really, I don't even know how to say the word because I have a hard time talking or saying the word. So forgive me, y'all. So it's a absorbing topics. And pretty much what that means is like, it's hard for people to, stay on for one task. For people to stay on for one task, every second, I believe. Rachel, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, I can definitely relate to it. It's hard for me to focus on one task. Like, I have a hard time paying attention to one thing. That's why mom always has a problem with me, like, wanting to drive, because it's hard for me to pay attention to one specific thing without looking at something else or focusing on something else. And there are times where I just don't pay attention, or I'm not aware of my surroundings or something like that, or I'm not watching where I'm going, things like that. And I can't do daily tasks sometimes without me getting distracted by something else. So that's why, like, what I would do is if I have to do something, I always have to have my phone put away, or I'm not able, or don't use it, because I don't want it to be a distraction from what I'm doing, because phones are a distraction. Everybody knows that. Well, they should know that.
It is a distraction. Technology is a distraction, period.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, when did you start learning how to drive? You were mentioning about that. So, when did you first start to learn?
I haven't learned yet. That's the thing.
Oh, okay.
I haven't been ready. I haven't been... My anxiety is too bad. It's pretty bad enough where I'm too nervous and too anxious to drive right now. So it's going to, I'm not sure when, but eventually I might. I don't know. Not for a long period of time, though, that's for sure.
So basically, you get anxious whenever you start thinking about driving or whatever it is.
Or whatever, or if it's anything that's like a big deal, like if I always get nervous about, I always think about driving as I'm nervous, because the thing is with that is you're putting your life in front of, like, the road and everybody else. Like, anything can happen. People get in accidents all the time. I don't want to be one of those people. So.
Right, right.
My parents have gone through so many bad accidents. So has a lot of my family members. Dad got rear-ended by some dumb person being careless on the road. And caught back issues. Right. So, like, it's nerve-wracking for me, and it makes me anxious because I don't want to get hurt or ruin mom's vehicle because I'm being careless or something. So, yeah, just not ready to do that right now.
I think me and you have a similar situation where we both that we get anxious about driving, and it's really nerve-wracking. I get that, and I'll speak up for myself. It is really nerve-wracking for me as well. Because, you know, when I started, like, driving and... Well, first I did driver's ed, of course. I did driver's ed. I did that 2 years ago. No, it was 3 years ago. I'm sorry. It was 3 years ago I did driver's ed. And it was during a pandemic. And pretty much I was taking it online. And pretty much I was, you know, doing it where I had to take a test and stuff like that. At first, I thought it looked easy, but at the same time, it didn't. Because it was difficult to where, you know, you had to pay attention to the street signs and you got to watch out for the people crossing the road and stuff like that. And, you know, the most important thing is to try not to crash a vehicle close to an object or a person or a vehicle. And so when I started driving for the first time, you know, it was where I had that nerve starts to come in. That nerve starts to come in where I just think that I feel like I'm going to crash somebody's car or crash a person or whatever the case may be.
Or your car.
Right, exactly. Right.
Okay, then you're in big trouble.
Right. And the thing is, I was driving one of my family members' car. It's not nobody else's car, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, that's the main thing is that's the big thing to where I'm driving my parents' car pretty much. So I get where you're coming from. So
yeah.
So that's pretty much. So yeah, I appreciate you sharing that because you know people who has a disability gets really nerve wracking to where they can't really. Concentrate on driving, just like you said. It's hard for you to compete that to focus on one thing at a time. So
my attention span is pretty bad. Like, yeah, my IQ is kind of like maybe 70. It's not that good because of my disability. So it's my attention span that's pretty bad.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Right. So. Also, we have treatments, and a treatment is that can help with the person with the Asperger's syndrome is therapy. That's the biggest thing that Asperger's syndrome would highly recommend for the people who has Asperger's syndrome. You know, I would highly recommend you going to therapy. The reason why is because it's behavioral problems it starts to come in. There's a therapy such as support group, biofeedback, cognitive behavioral therapy, anger management, psychoeducation, family therapy, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of therapy that it has to be that you can do if you have that. So pretty much, yeah, that's pretty much what people can do. What therapy have you gone to? What therapy have you done to help you with your Asperger's syndrome?
Well, apparently, mom told me this today. Apparently, she said that I went to therapy ever since I was like 4. Because when I was 4 years old, that is when I had behavioral problems. I did not like to listen. I was a very strong-willed child. Didn't want to follow instructions. Didn't do what I was supposed to do. I would say mean things. I would be hurtful. I would hit people. I would do all kinds of things that was not okay to be doing. And I had to go to therapy until I was like, now I still have to go to therapy sometimes for behavioral issues. So I've been going to therapy since I was like 4.
Did your mom know what type of therapy you went to, or was it just a therapy?
I think it was behavioral. I'm not sure.
Okay. And as you've gotten older, have you gone to other therapy programs, or what did you also do? Like, what? Okay. Well, the main question is, did you keep going to behavioral therapy, or did you go to other therapy as you got older?
I think it was always behavioral. I think.
Okay. And have you ever we're gonna get into this in a second. We're gonna be talking about the behavioral problems, also the other behavioral problems as well. But what other expressions or what other emotions do you have since you have this type of disability? And I know, like, and before you answer, like, I think with all Asperger's syndromes, not everybody has the same emotions all at once. So that's why I wanted to ask you, like, what other emotions did you have since you have this type of disability?
I would say anger, because, like, over littlest things, like, I mean, like, the littlest things I would get mad about. Or if somebody were to pick on me, I would just instantly hit the person. Or I would call somebody a mean name. Or I would pick on them back. Or do something that I wasn't supposed to be doing. Like, my anger was, and sadness also, and depression a little bit. Anxiety, all that kind of stuff. But when I was a kid, all the way up until like high school, I had problems behaving and doing what I needed to do in order to behave.
Right.
It was difficult. Very, very difficult.
So did you ever like cope with the problems did you have, first of all, how long has this been going on? You say it's been going on since you were 4.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been going on for a very long time, then.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't stopped. It just kept going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, the thing is, I'm better now. Like, I'm not as bad as I was when I was a kid. Like, I don't act out like that anymore. Right. I don't usually hit anymore, really, unless someone were to hit me first. But, like, if somebody is being flat-out rude towards me, I would get angry at them. But usually, I am pretty good at, like, trying not to do anything like that. Because as I get older, I can get in big trouble for that kind of stuff. Not like when you were a kid, you know, you get detention. Like that no more. Like, you would get, like, legal trouble. So, I don't really do that no more.
Right. And so that brings us with the next topic. The next one is, and I did research about this, Asperger's syndrome. How do Asperger's syndrome affect them on daily life? And it's pretty much self-explanatory. What you said is that, you know, it's difficult for you to reading off other people and recognizing or understanding their feelings or intentions in expressing their own emotions. So, mm-hmm. was there a time where you actually was there a was there actually a time where you have a difficult time reading other people or what?
Yes, absolutely. Because when I was in elementary school, I would see things that aren't the truth. Like, I would see something else than it actually was.
But so what's an example?
Kind of, like, I had a hard time reading people, and my mind was a little bit skewed, which means, like, I didn't know what was going on. And I just, like, instantly thought it was something else when it was not. Like, I would think people were talking bad about me. And then I would say, oh, you're doing this. But in reality, they weren't doing that. They're like, no, I didn't. And people didn't understand it because, like I said, there was not a lot of people like me in school.
Right.
Like, there were just not a lot of people like me. And it wasn't a very big school either. It's kind of small. I mean, it's big, but not that big for right. people to, like, there's, like, where it spreads out and you know all these kids that have it. It's not right. like, and the thing is that I had a hard time reading people. Like, if somebody was getting tired of me talking, I had a hard time reading their body language and how they were talking to me.
Right.
And I also had a hard time with, like, them even caring about what I had to say. And I was too trusting because of that. And I just had a hard time reading people. Like, I was a bully a little bit myself because I thought something when it wasn't really that at all. I would accuse people because I didn't know, like, what was going on. So it wasn't because I was trying to be a mean person and try to, like, be a bully and say, like, get people in trouble. It wasn't like that. I just didn't. My brain wasn't doing what it was supposed to do, which was thinking wrong about the other person when it wasn't that way at all. And I couldn't read people that good.
So
I still have that issue, but I don't really accuse anymore. What?
So, okay, right. So, what an example, I was going to ask you, what was an example that you had, so, because you said that you was in elementary school where you said that you would see things that are not the truth. So, the example of that, like, give all of us an example of what you saw was not the truth.
Well, I guess, when I was in school, I would think that people were talking bad about me when they were not.
Right.
They weren't even focused on me. They were focusing on something else. And I thought that they were talking about me. And I ended up saying, she's talking about me to one of the teachers. And I ended up getting that person in trouble, but in reality, it wasn't. I apparently got someone in trouble because I saw something that wasn't the truth. And, like, and they didn't, the teacher, they didn't understand that. So I got in big trouble from the principal. What they could have done is, like, maybe help me with it. And be like, okay, this is what's going on, and this is what's not going on, or something like that. But they didn't, because they didn't understand. Until my special ed teacher found out what was going on. It took a lot of time for people to diagnose me with this. I would say they're doing that. I accuse somebody of talking bad about me when they were not. Because I didn't know what they were doing. And I didn't see the truth. I thought it was something else that was not the truth. So...
So yeah. when did you find out that you were diagnosed with this with the disability did you have?
So I think when I was like in second grade, first or second grade, maybe it was second, I'm not sure. But I was in my class and I had a counselor that would like they would watch me in the classroom, so they would just be sitting there and taking notes, like watching me, like what I was, they would observe what I was doing to see right. what my diagnosis was, because my mom kept saying to people that this is what I have, and people weren't paying attention to that. So the therapist was in the room watching and observing me, and I had a hard time paying attention. I had a hard time doing what I needed to be doing. I was off topic. I was off task. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. I always needed to fidget with something. And that is when they went and told my mother that I was diagnosed with that. All because that therapist just sat there and observed the classroom.
Right.
And they knew. what my symptoms were, how I was acting, how I was talking, how I didn't answer a lot of questions in class when teachers would call my name, how I always didn't pay attention to the teacher, or I would be trying to talk to other people when I'm supposed to be doing listening to the teacher or doing my work or whatever, things like that. It was difficult, you know, and right. It took a therapist to have to sit and observe me to find out that I had this.
So did you have any other problems as a child where you, when you was dealing with this, like when you was a toddler, like did you have anything going on with you or what?
Well, I couldn't talk until I was 3. And right. So the teachers thought I was mute. They thought, oh, she can't talk. So I had to have go to speech class, and they had to do sign language with me. And then eventually I kind of talked a little bit, but not much. I only really talked to my parents, and I didn't play with other kids. I barely played with anybody. I only really played with by myself because I didn't want to play with anyone else.
And So did that affect you? Did that affect you like in school? Like did that affect you with your grade wise? Like did you get held back or did you get skipped a grade? Okay, so you got held back. Okay.
I got held back in preschool until I was 5 years old. I cannot go to kindergarten because I wasn't talking. I couldn't speak at all.
That's understandable.
And they didn't want me going to kindergarten not being able to speak, you know. So they kind of wanted me to learn how to talk and to do what I needed to do in order to be able to go to kindergarten.
Right.
So, yeah.
And that's really messed up.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And I have another issue where I tend to have something to say and I talk over somebody, which I never mean to do, so I'm very sorry. But
no, you're fine.
But it's very difficult having to go into kindergarten without being able to talk because people could tease you, they can make fun of you, and they didn't want that for me, so they just made me stay there until I learned. So,
right
it's not like I was punished and be like, you need to stay there for this, like, no. It was just because I was not ready to. They weren't trying to be mean. They were just trying to help me. So, yeah.
And I was told, just to tell you and to everybody else, people, I got held back as well. I got held back when I was in second grade. They held me back second grade because they thought I wasn't really smart enough. They thought that I couldn't really keep up with everybody else. So, and at that time, I felt like I was, like, a really dumb person. I wouldn't say dumb person. It made me, like, really doubt myself, really. But in a long
run. No, you're not dumb.
Right. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And in the long run, it just helped me realize that, you know, I just needed help and stuff like that. So that's pretty much what happened to me back then. I started having to get held back second grade because, you know, they thought that I wasn't really, that I couldn't keep up with the other kids, you know what I mean? And, and I think with, like, both of us, that we're surrounded around with popular people, including people in school that we go to school with. We're surrounded by people that we go to school with that who are really popular and they think they can do whatever they want, where they can pick on people and stuff like that. Did you ever have those type of situations? Well, I think you did touch on that before where you know, you had get made fun of before. So, yeah, you told me about that.
Mm-hmm. I got bullied all the time. Because I wasn't good at a subject, they would be like, Rachel, you're so dumb. You can't even do math. What is wrong with you? Or whatever the freaking subject was. Like, I wasn't good at it. So,
Right. So I'm sorry, people. I was yelling. I'm sorry. My bad. Did you ever have a job when you was like 16 or whatever?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and how did that go for you since?
I'm pretty sure it was difficult. It was difficult. Awful.
It was difficult. I can tell. It was awful. The way you was laughing, I can tell that it was difficult for you.
It was awful. People, like, literally at my job, I was sweeping the floor, and I wasn't very good at it. I don't know. I was behind because I have this. It's not my fault. It's hard to do daily tasks when you have this thing. It doesn't mean I didn't want to learn. I just couldn't do it that good. What my boss could have done or what they could have done was show me how to do it. Not be rude.
Right.
But the girl, this black girl, was not trying to be racist, people. But this girl said, "What are you, dumb? You can't even sweep a floor." And I said, "No, I have Asperger's syndrome. I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe you can help me." And she was like, "No, that's why you're stupid, because you have this disability of yours. What? That's why you're dumb."
It's pretty fucked up.
And my boss, don't worry about his language. It just slipped out, guys. But
no, it's explicit. I put the explicit on the show. So, I'm not really going to curse that much throughout the whole. So, people, if I start being explicit, don't take offense or anything like that. I'm not going to be cussing too much during the whole, my whole journey with this whole podcast thing. So, bear with me, y'all. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead. Keep going. Sorry.
You're good. But the thing is that, yes, it was very messed up and uncalled for. And my boss didn't really do anything. They just kind of was like, "Oh, it's fine. Just ignore them." Didn't really tell them to stop. Didn't write them up for their behavior. Well, I worked at McDonald's. Of course, why would they care? They're not very good people working there anyway. They're kind of
rude. Were they customers or employees?
Employees and customers. It was just not a good job. It was terrible. I don't know.
Yeah, some jobs can be really messed up. And I also found this out too, where I'm not gonna go deeper into this, people, but I actually ran research about this, is where I heard that if you have a disability, you can't really get hired in certain places. That's what I heard.
Sometimes you can't, because sometimes your needs are a little bit difficult and
right.
You're not able to get those things, and people can be very judgmental with you with your disability that you have. Like, sometimes it's hard to disclose your disability. It's not like you have to, but it's good to if you want accommodations for certain things. I had to ask my boss for accommodations for transportation, since my mom can't always take me to meetings and stuff. I have to get a ride from her. And, or whatever. And she understands that. Or I have to have accommodations for shifts or something like that. Or needing extra help. Because things with her is that she works with people that had disabilities. Because she was a special ed teacher. And then she switched to being a site director at my job. So, she understands.
Right.
And she, like, I had to be in special ed, and she told me if I need extra help with anything, she will be more than happy to help me with it. So, like, she wouldn't judge me, because she knows people that have things like that. We've been working with somebody that special needs right now in my job. So, like, she's been helping them with that, with their disability.
Right. Right.
So, you know, but with certain jobs, yeah, it's hard to get accommodations for things, or they just don't want to give them to you, which you have to give them to your employer, but they just right. don't always feel like doing that, but they should. But
was there a time, okay, so was there also a time where you went to a, not necessarily a college, but like a
internship?
An internship where you had to get a job that you wanted to do. Like, was there a time that happened or what?
Yes. So I was in this internship called Project Search, where they help you get a job with people that have special needs. And all the people that I worked with there were special needs. And so basically, I would just, it was at like children's hospitals. So basically, you do rotations. So like in different departments. Like I was in the NICU for a while, and then I was in pre-post for a while, doing helping out with other things like that. And then I was in volunteer services. So I was doing quite a few things in that area, in those places.
Right.
And it helped me get a job.
So where did you work at whenever you got the job, where did you work at?
Well, I really wanted to work with kids, and
I worked. Is that your career? Is that like your career is to work with kids? Sorry to cut you off, but is that your career to do that or
what? Yeah, and I wanted to start off like in a daycare first, so that way I have some experience with that. So basically, with that, I actually worked at daycare where actually I went to preschool at for a little while until mom couldn't afford it anymore, and then she moved me to a different place. I worked there for a year, and I didn't really like it because people were just kind of rude, and there was a lot of drama, and I don't like being part of drama. It makes me nervous. I just don't like it. Right. And they were kind of rude towards me. Some of the younger employees were not the nicest to me, and I didn't like that. They weren't the nicest people, and it bothered me, and I didn't like it. So I quit. And another reason why I quit was because I applied for a job called Club 66, which is like before and after school. And my district is like West Side District 66, which is where I went to school like all my life. And I work at the elementary school that I went to school with, obviously. So, like, it's right by my house. It's close. But, yeah. And I didn't have my daycare job. If it wasn't for my daycare job, I wouldn't be able to get this one. And I applied for this one before, but the pandemic ruined that opportunity for me, so I had to reapply. So.
Yeah, pandemic, if you're, like, in a pandemic, they can't really, like, hire people because it was the time of the pandemic. And not only that, but also in the pandemic, you can't really keep your job for that long. Instead, they had to let you go. I'm not sure if you heard the stories about that.
Mm-hmm. I never had to get laid off, but I didn't like working at the place I worked at, so I just switched. But yeah,
right. So pretty much your work experience was it started off bad at first, but then your work experience like got better like over time, pretty much.
Yeah, the job I work at now, yes, is a lot better.
Right. Okay. So so back to your childhood, did anything else happen in your childhood? Did you lose any family members or like what?
Yes, I lost a couple. When I was 2 years old, back in 2005, almost three, I think, one of those, 2.5, 3 years old, back to 2005, Dad was diagnosed with bone marrow cancer, and he got upset about something, and he slammed his hand on the table. It broke his hand, but it's also, he didn't just break it because he hit it hard enough. It was also because bone marrow has something to do with your bones, and it makes your bones just not work properly and make you feel sick. And that was actually a couple of weeks before he was actually diagnosed with it. And it was very difficult. And then as I got to be a lot older, at the age of 13 and a half years old, back in September 2016, when I was in eighth grade, he ended up passing away. And in 2011, I lost my grandma. my dad's mom. And I had her since I was like, until I was like 10. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I had my older cat too. And then she passed a while ago. But yeah. And then I'm not really say a family member, but a pet. My dog that I had since I was like 10 years old. Same with the cat. I used to call her the Furby because she just looked like one. She was all furry. But she passed away before our dog. So I lost two pets and two family members in the past years I was alive. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So pretty much your childhood was pretty great until, you know, you lost a parent and you lost your grandparent and you lost, you know, pets.
Yeah. And I lost, our other dog, Chloe. She was like, when I was like 5, I think, because she had cancer. So we had to put her down. She had a tumor on her hip, which looked very painful and it was bloody. So,
right.
Yeah. And I lost my other cat, Bridget. I don't know how old I was then. I think I was like 14 or 15.
Right.
Something like that. But right. Yeah. Yeah, it was difficult. It was not fun.
Right.
And then I lost another pet when I was younger as well because I think she was eating too fast and she died of bloat. So that's another problem. So I lost quite a few dogs. And when I was 5, my dog Benny bit me in the face. And so we had to put him down because he was psychotic and crazy. So, because our neighbor thought it'd be fun to throw apples at him. Very mean, very disrespectful to do that to a puppy. Like, come on. Right. But. Yeah, I lost a lot of my pets, except for the ones I have right now. So
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, with this whole disability that you have, do you know who else has it? The same thing as you do. Mm-hmm. I should ask you this, in the middle of the show, but you don't have to go into details of how you met this person that has the same disability as you, but do you actually know who else that has it as well, or what?
I think maybe two people, possibly two people, but my grandmother, she had it, but they didn't diagnose her with it till she was dead, my dad's mom. And then my best friend, Jess, she might have it. I'm not sure. She was just diagnosed with autism. They stopped diagnosing Asperger's syndrome in 2013. They shouldn't have done that. There's different levels of autism. Like, come on. But, yeah.
Right.
And I think she might have it. And then my ex, he has it. Worse.
Right.
Way, way worse.
Right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So also your relationships were also bad at the time, because with the Asperger's syndrome, I did research where relationships can be good and bad depending how it is. Also, you don't have to go into details with this one either, but did you have any bad experience in relationships or no?
With two people. Because the other people I dated, one of them I dated just didn't go work out because just didn't. We just had different interests. He wasn't a bad person at all.
Right.
We just had different. Couple of them I'm good friends with still. So it's fine.
Right.
You know, I don't have any feelings for them. People,
right. I know, but you can.
But my other people that I dated were very rude. My ex that has Asperger's syndrome, he was very difficult and rude, and he was being very rude, and he exaggerated stuff, saying something that wasn't appropriate. I'm not gonna say it on here. But was just being very inappropriate and rude, and would call me names and pick on me. And things like that. I didn't like it. And then my other ex did the R word. I'm not going to say anything else but that. And he didn't understand anything about it. He actually quite judged me for it. He's like, oh. Because apparently I would always make him mad. Not meaning to make him mad. He was being rude first. And he was like, you don't listen to me. You're too stupid to listen to me. I'm like, dude, you don't know what I have going on here. But
right.
He didn't get it. He didn't get it. And right. So we ended things for various reasons. But yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to go into details. But I'm glad that you're in a better relationship right now. And which is me, people. So, and I think me and you have that similar situations where we've been through a lot so much that, you know, we need someone that we can trust and stuff like that. And I'm glad that we found each other. And so.
And we trust each other with everything.
Right. And like I said in the beginning, guys, we've been dating for a year. So things is really working out as it should be. So I'm really thankful for that. So that will be it for today's episode, you guys. Rachel, is there anything that you can give an advice to people that that have this type of disability, or what, or if they're going through stuff with any type of disability, do you have any advices for them?
Yes. Do not let people judge you. Do not let people bring you down. You're not dumb. Whatever it is, you're just different. Everybody has something. Everybody's right. Different. Everybody has something. No matter what it is. Everybody's
right. Different.
You never know what's going on in the other person's life. And people out there who think it's appropriate to pick on other people, try being in our shoes. Because, trust me, it is not fun. It is not something to be proud of. It is very difficult. Right. So before you pick on other people, you need to think, what would it be like if I was in their shoes? So.
Right.
Yeah.
And like I said,
and if you don't like it, don't be around us. Simple.
Right. And also, good point that you made, by the way. also, I want to say that if you have a special needs, you know, we're always here if you want to talk, you know, if you want advice or anything like that, we'll always give that to you, or I will always give it to you, no matter what you're going through is. If you're special needs, you're not alone. There's other people who has a disability that is different or the same for you, and maybe y'all can relate to it, socialize very good, and have a good relationship with each other. And yeah, that's how it is, you know, because you know, people out here in the world are really negatively, and I'm not going to make this long, but I'm going to make it short. Just to close this out, people nowadays are being negative, you know, it's a whole lot of negativity out in this world, and the thing is with yourself is you have to be positive. You have to be positive. No matter what the situation is, you have to be positive by yourself. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's how it is in the world. And with that being said, guys, this is Chats with Julius. This is the episode about Asperger's Syndrome. Rachel, thank you for joining me. I appreciate you being on the show. So, thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure.
And I will catch you guys on the next episode. Have a good night, you guys.
Yep, have a good night. Bye.
See ya.